عن الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر. وقال تبارك وتعالى: من ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. These are the great and auspicious days of what is called the mausam, the season of Hajj. As we have different seasons, we have our business season, sometimes it's a sports season, sometimes it's a wedding season, whatever. But for us as the Muslims, this is our one great season. And Allah Ta'ala has given us such a beautiful deen. Our calendar also is so beautiful. Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib, Ramad Barakatum, who was just here till this morning, Hazrat explained that the Islamic year starts with Muharram. The day of one meaning of Muharram, of respect and honor. When the year starts with respect and honor, then as the year proceeds, we come to Rajab, which is the month in which Salat, Namaz was given to the Ummah. Then we come to Shaaban. The highlight of Shaaban is the 15th night, which is really the night of Tawbah, Istighfar, becoming clean. Then what to say about the month of Ramadan after that? And then it comes to its peak and to the pinnacle with Hajj, the mausam of Hajj, the season of Hajj after that. Whereas in the West, the English year starts with January, and in India, Pakistan, we pronounce it January. So it's a January. Then it starts with the animal. So what we find at the end, the December period that comes, with all the parties that take place, the matric balls that take place, and what evil doesn't happen. How many of our Muslim girls today in these times, in these business parties they have, one night that girl is completely destroyed. How many boys, girls who got distinctions in their matric, in that one matric ball, they are completely destroyed. They are hooked on to alcohol, they are hooked on to drugs. So that is their way of life. Ours is such an honorable way of life. MashaAllah, we had our Ramadan, we had Shaaban, we had Rajab. And when the moon for Eid is sighted, the Ramzan Eid, Eid of Shawwal, Eid al-Fitr, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, says the people in the world normally are happy about that day because it's a day of rejoicing. Ramzan has come to an end, Rozas has come to an end, Taraweeh has come to an end. But he says, for me, it is a day of joy because the season of Hajj has started. For which Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَأَدِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ بَعْمِرِ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقَ. O Ibrahim, give azan, call towards Hajj. Izn-e Aam, permission for all. Whoever said labbaik, whether they were in this world, and here we have a great lesson to learn, that Allah Ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to call for Hajj in the barren, and in those days the forlorn land of Makkah, where there was nobody. It was just a barren land. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, according to riwayat, in fact said, Ya Allah, you are asking me to call the people for Hajj, to give azan. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. But yet nobody is going to hear. Allah Ta'ala said, O Ibrahim, your duty is to fulfill my command. You called out to Hajj, and it is my work that I will convey your message. And Allah conveyed it to in such a way that whoever was on the earth, they had heard it. Whoever was alim arwah, the souls that still have to come, they also Allah conveyed it to them. And Allah Ta'ala made it such, whoever said labbaik, how many times they said labbaik, they are going for Hajj. Nobody can stop them. Whose labbaik was called out, those people are going for Hajj. What lesson we learn from here? That we have to do the work of deen according to the commands of Allah, the sunnah, pattern, tariqah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our duty is to make the effort. to put it, to convey it, to put it in the hearts of the people, so that people accept, that's not our work. That is Allah Ta'ala's work. Our work is just to convey. And we see, mashallah, right till today, see our Tabligh Jamaat, mashallah, there are no TV adverts, no programs on the TV anywhere. But the biggest crowd anywhere in the world, Dini, besides Hajj of course, is Jamaat programs that they are having. We see our ulama who sat in, who sat in their madrasas, small little villages, big madrasas, but small villages like Dhabel, Tarkeshwar, Deoband, Saharanpur, Jalalabad, and many others. Those ustads perhaps never left their province. They perhaps never went out of the province, but they did deen's work according to sunnah tariqah. Their faith and their knowledge and their barakat, Allah has conveyed to the four parts of the world. Where and where the students have reached, and they are making deen alive. So we have to do deen's work how we are commanded to. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, you call out for Hajj. What will happen? وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتِيكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرِ. People will come on all types of conveyances, camels also, and today we see the aeroplanes, the buses, the people are coming from all sides for Hajj. مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. From every side, every valley, every hill, from all sides. And today, or most of us, inshallah, we have been for Hajj. Who haven't been, may Allah take us very soon and bless everyone with Hajj Maqbool. Just being at the Hajj terminal in Jeddah still, a person sees the great barakat and the promise of Allah, which Allah had kept in this ayat, how it is fulfilled. Hardly 2 minutes pass, and you see a plane has landed from Nigeria, for example. And those hajis are walking, they have come into the terminal. And a man, woman, all, one thing on the tongue. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Hardly 2 minutes, and a plane from Malaysia has come, for example. Hardly 2 minutes, and a plane from Pakistan. Hardly 2 minutes and a plane from another country, Sudan in Africa. Allahu Akbar. يَأْتِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرِ. Allah, they will come in all forms. And during the closed days of Hajj like now, the Arab countries, by buses they are coming in. Bus loads of people, by cars they are coming in. This is what Allah Ta'ala had commanded. So this is the season of Hajj. And where are they all coming? That to the house of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And which house, which Allah says, Inna awwala baytin wudi'a linnas. The very first house which was kept on this world for mankind. According to most mufassireen, the very first building that was on the world. Otherwise, the very first place for the worship of Allah. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a linnas lalladhi bi Bakkah. That house which is in Bakkah, which is the Kaaba Sharif which Allah has put. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a linnas lalladhi bi Bakkah mubarakan wa hudan lil alamin. Allah made it a house of barakat. There is barakat that flows of all ways. As long as the Kaaba will be in existence, the whole world system will carry on. We'll get our food, we'll get our sleep, we'll get our rain, we'll get the winds blowing. But when finally the Kaaba Sharif will be destroyed, then Allah will say, the party is over, the wailing is over, the tents must come down. And Qiyamah will come, and Qiyamah will be heralded in. So Kaaba is that place, Mubarakan, wa Hudan, and it's a place of Hidayat lil Alameen. Not only for the Muslims, but for all the realms Allah has made it. Fihi ayatum bayyinat. And in it Allah has put clear signs to recognize Allah Ta'ala. A person who made Hajj, and he did not find Allah Ta'ala. Perhaps he went to Paris, he went to the shopping malls in Mecca. Perhaps he was in London, perhaps he was in Dubai. A person who went for Hajj in the true sense, he will have seen Allah Ta'ala. Fihi ayatun bayyinat. Amongst them, Maqamu Ibrahim. Maqami Ibrahim. And Maqami Ibrahim is not a beautiful glass container. But what is inside that rock, that stone, on which are the imprints of the leg of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that is the Mubarak thing. That is the miracle of Allah, that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was building the Kaaba Sharif, he did not have scaffolding, he didn't have to make scaffolding, he did not have to have a hoist, a lift. Allah made this rock such, whenever he wanted to go up, it would go up to the level where he was building. When he finished and he wanted to come down, it would just come down. Until today Allah has kept it preserved there. And also the horns, which we will come to later, of the ram, the ewe, the sheep, which had come from Jannah for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to slaughter, these horns were hung on Mizab-e Rahmat. Till one time a fire had struck at Kaaba Sharif, and after that they were destroyed. And then there is Zamzam there. Then there is Safa Marwa, where Hajra alayhi salatu wasalam was running looking for her son. And finally Allah brought the well of Zamzam. Fihi ayatum bayyinat maqamu Ibrahim. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. A person who doesn't want to observe this and is not interested, doesn't go for Hajj, Allah is independent of the whole world. Allah is not in need of our ibadah. Allah is not in need of us recognizing Him. We are in need of Allah. And if we don't turn to Allah, Allah doesn't need us at all. Allah is totally independent. If nobody makes Hajj, nobody makes one salat, it doesn't diminish, lower Allah's greatness one little bit. And if the whole world become obedient to Allah and worship Allah, it doesn't increase Allah's greatness one bit. Allah is as He is. He is not great by our ibadah. He doesn't become less because we are not worshipping Him. He is great as He is. So these are those days with regard to which Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, my Shaykh Awwal, used to say, Suna hai ke tere dar par tere aashiqon ka hujum hoga. We have heard, O Allah, that on your threshold, at your doorstep, at your door, your lovers will be coming from all around the world. From all sides your lovers will be coming, as what is happening now. Makkah Sharif at the moment is vibrant, is ablaze with all the hajis and with all the labbaik and the people coming. All the time people are coming in the haram, people are going out of the haram. 24 hours all the time tawaf is carrying on, Safa Marwa is carrying on. Allahu Akbar, what an environment there is there. So this great event is taking place. Suna hai tere dar par tere aashiqon ka hujum hoga. Agar ijazat ho to main bhi unme shamil ho jaun. Oh Allah, if there is permission, please, I also wish to be amongst them. From here, one great lesson we should learn during these days is that even if we are not going for Hajj this year, but our hearts should be there, our desire should be there, our du'as should be with the Hajjis all the time. What a great occasion of Islam, of Deen, and our greatest thing in our life is our Islam. Just like, for example, a person who is very much in tabligh work, and ijtima is taking place, and he became so ill, he couldn't attend the ijtima. But naturally his thoughts, his du'as will be with the ijtima all the time. There's a wedding in the family taking place, and it's a very close person, and you really wanted to be there. You became so ill or whatever, you couldn't attend, but your du'as will be there. Your thoughts will be there. Let us see for ourselves that at this moment when this great event of Hajj is taking place, every year it takes place, our thoughts there. Do we even make one dua for the Hajjis? Do we even think about the Hajjis? Not only if my son is gone, my brother is gone, my father is gone, if nobody of my blood family also, but the whole Ummah's people are gone there. Are we making dua? Are we connected? If not, it shows that we got no feeling for Hajj also. And it shows our poor affiliation to Islam and Deen. It shows a great weakness on our Iman. Our thoughts, and how kind has Allah Ta'ala been. That these 10 days, Allah Ta'ala said that Allah does not love to be worshipped more in any other days than in these 10 days.
Allah Ta'ala loves the most to be worshipped during these 10 days. And in Ramadan, the rewards of worship of Ibadat Allah is increased. But these are those 10 days which Allah Ta'ala takes qasam. Wal Fajri, the time of Fajr. Wal Ashr, the 10 nights of Zulhijjah. And these are so mubarak. Allah Ta'ala only takes qasam of His great, great creations. We are only allowed to take qasam of Allah Ta'ala, not of anyone or anything besides Allah Ta'ala. Allah takes qasam only of His great, great creations. This shows how great these 10 days and nights are. At that point also, ask ourselves that do we ever even regard these as great days? MashaAllah, many people, Ramadan we regard as great days. But these days, there are some friends, MashaAllah. This morning one such friend who phones every year, he says, Maulana, Mubarak Dara Avela Che. Dua Ma Yaad Karjo. Who of us got that feeling, Ke Mubarak Dara Avela Che. That blessed days have come. And that we ask for duas for these blessed days. Many of us, it means nothing to us. Yes, let December come, everyone will know it's December. The businessman from that angle, the holiday makers from that angle, from everyone, they are making it December, everyone knows it's December. But the days of Hajj and the importance and our connection to Makkah Sharif. So Allah says that during these days, He loves that His ibadat must be made. They said, there are no other days in which Allah loves His ibadat more than these days. And what is Allah's ibadat? We all know what is ibadat. But alhamdulillah, we must make so much shukr. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even defined for us what is the ibadat of these 10 days. In one hadith it comes that the best dua to be recited, the best zikr, the best tasbih to be recited during these days, which all the anbiya of before also used to recite, was La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, yuhyi wa yumit, biyadihi al-khayr, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. This is not only our fourth kalima, or when we were in class one in madrasa, we were shouting it at the top of our voices and we were reading the kalima, but just consider little the meaning. Little bit we consider the meaning, a person will read it with great joy and relish. He will be so happy, and this is that ummat that Allah has made it easy for us on our tongues that we can read these kalimas. And the ibadat of these days, it comes in the hadith sharif when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that during these days Allah loves His ibadat the most. The sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, whose tarbiyat, whose nurturing, whose state of mind and heart was made by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they in their minds, what they were taught and what they were made to understand, the greatest ibadat is jihad fi sabilillah. So they said, walal jihadu fi sabilillah. Oh, Allah's Rasul, during days, is jihad also is not so great as the other ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, walal jihadu fi sabilillah. Not even jihad in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Again, second time in some riwayats it came, they asked for a second time, walal jihadu fi sabilillah. Not even jihad. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, not even jihad. Only that person who goes with his wealth and his person and returns with nothing. In other words, he spends all his wealth in the path in going in jihad. And he gives his life also in jihad. That person will be more better. Otherwise, and for us, without having to go to jihad, sitting at home, we can get that great, great sawab of these days. And that is the recitation of the fourth kalima. In another hadith it comes, what Allah loves during these days is the third kalima. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And then punctuated time from time to time, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. And we can also add sometimes, لَا مَلْجَى وَلَا مَنْجَى مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. These are those great things. And unfortunately, because we have not got a close association with deen, and the reality of deen, the reality, not only the knowledge of deen, so these words are hardly on our tongues. Like for example, during these days, each one of us think, today, how many times did I read the fourth kalima? How many times did I read the third kalima? And those perhaps who did read it just for sawab. But with that reality of this, and these are those things, if we just bring the basics of deen into our lives, wallah, I assure you that Allah will bring the goodness of deen, dunya and akhirat into our lives. Just the basics, but unfortunately, we don't do the basics. Our five times namaz, with jamaat as far as possible, our tilawat of Quran, Yasin Sharif. Ask us, how many of us read Quran Sharif today? How many of us read our Yasin today? How many read one time Durood Sharif today? How many of us made istighfar? And it comes in the hadith, very fortunate and lucky are those people whose nama amal record of deeds are filled with tawbah and istighfar. We are making gunas left, right and center. Not factories, but big factories we have got of making guna all the time. And no tawbah. We have just got debits in our account. We are not paying any credits into our account. We are not making deposits. We are just writing out checks of guna all the time. And big amounts. How long can that account remain open? How long will your bank manager carry you also? Not no tawbah. So we are not making. So these basic things. Hazrat Maulana Shah Mazhar Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Dhamat Barakatum, says that it wasn't long ago when in the Ummat Salam was very much alive. And what is Salam? Peace be upon. Tranquility, salamity, afiyat. Yeah. And wa rahmatu Allah's rahmat, wa barakatuhu and barakat. Today, we hardly hear salam. In our houses, we don't hear salam. We don't enter with salam, we don't leave with salam. Whereas it has come in the hadith, afshaw salama baynakum. Make the salam, the ifsha of salam. Spread the salam in the ummah. If salam will come, salamati will come. It is written in the tafsir of Qul huwallahu ahad. A person who enters his house and he makes salam loudly, clearly and cheerfully, then he reads softly to himself, Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And in one riwayat, Durood Sharif also, so much of barakat. One sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Oh Allah's Rasul, I've got so much financial problems. I haven't got food to put on the table for my children. We haven't got anything to eat also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him, make salam and read Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And also read Durood Sharif. After a few days, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed that way and asked him, how is it now? He said, Allahu Akbar. Allah has given me so much barakat. I spend freely on my family now. On my neighbors I spend. In my whole neighborhood, the whole community. I'm just spending now all the time. So much Allah has given. This is the barakat of salam. So these basic things, our Durood Sharif, our istighfar, tilawat of Quran, these basic things if we do, see what goodness will come. So during these days, the fourth kalima, the third kalima, and then the nights are also so valuable. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ibadat of these nights is equal to the ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. In the month of Ramadan, we don't know for sure which is Laylatul Qadr. Is it the 27th? Is it the 25th? Which night it is? We don't know for sure. But this 9 nights, for sure, you get the ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. But how many of us make Qadr? How many of us appreciate and we understand the value? Every night we can, Ramzan, we show our great our piety. We are phoning Buzurg that which night is Laylatul Qadr. Buzurg, few people know. Alimul Ghaib is only Allah. Buzurg himself also doesn't know. Only Allah Ta'ala knows. But tell us, which is Laylatul Qadr? Yeah, every night is the value of Laylatul Qadr. But yeah, we don't make any Qadr. So this is what we should do. And the basic ibadat of the night, which Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali and other Buzurgs have written, make your Isha with Jamaat. Make your Fajr with Jamaat. Whole night's ibadat you get. More than that, make Salatul Tawbah. 2 rakats even. Make Salatul Hajah. Make Salatul Shukr. If we have more tawfiq, make Salatul Tasbih. Read Salatul Tasbih. Make Nafil Namazes. Read Quran Sharif. Spend an hour in ibadat. half an hour after Isha, try and get up before Sehri time. During these days, another great important aspect is fasting, rozas. But before Sehri, spend half an hour in ibadat there. Half an hour, how much won't we gain? Everyone can gain, and nobody must be deprived of this great virtues which are of this time. The first thing is to set in our mind the value and the greatness of these days. Then the fasting of these days are so valuable. Each day's roza, 9 days, the first 9 days of Zulhijjah, has the reward of 1 year's ibadat. 9 years ibadat, roza sawab we can gain in 9 days. And every year we can gain 9 years roza sawab in 9 days. So easy. And then the ninth of Zulhijjah, that we should not let go. That we get the reward of 1 whole year's roza sawab, plus the sins of 1 previous year and coming year, minus sins are forgiven also. So how much Allah has not kept in these great days. And then another very great thing of these days, Allah in His kindness. Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen, most merciful. Allah wants His mercy to be also widespread. Nobody must be deprived of Allah's mercy. So like this year, anyone knows, from the first of Zulhijjah, working up, the momentum is just working up in Makkah Sharif. The crowds are just increasing all the time. And all who are coming with one thing on their tongue, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. So Allah gave the whole ummah a resemblance to that, that we can imitate them. Tere mehboob ke ya Rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de, main surat leke aaya hoon. Allah has given us some similarity with the hajis, that yeah, we must be reading third kalima, we must be reading fourth kalima all the time. We won't be reading Labbaik, no Baytullah is here, no Makkah Sharif is here, but let us read the third kalima, the fourth kalima. In that way Allah gave us a similarity with the hajis. And in this way, if we do this, our hearts will also incline with the hajis. And very fortunate is that person who might be here in Actonville, but his heart is in Makkah Sharif. His heart is in Medina Sharif, where at the moment 24 hours, the Zaireen, the visitors of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man zarani ba'da wafati, fakannama zarani fi hayati. A person who will visit me after I have left the world is just like that person who will visit me while I am living. Hayatul Nabi is an accepted, established masala and feature of the whole ummah, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is alive in his qabr. And when we read salatu wasalam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam hears it personally in the haram and replies to our salatu wasalam personally. Only as some misguided people have got this, so such a stupid belief, that they see with their eyes, those who are living in Medina Sharif, with the excavations of Masjid al-Nabawi, with the extension of Jannatul Baqi, they have seen with their eyes, photos have come in the newspapers now, in our time, this decade, of when they found the qabr of people and their bodies were 100% intact. So when the ummati's body can remain intact, they say, how can Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's body be intact? Well, iyazu billah. They see what their eyes, it's shown there. Allah shows it to them. What the extensions which took place now recently in the past, that decade, 15 years, how many qabars and those people's bodies 100% intact. Those pictures came in the newspaper also. But still they say, how can a person be living for his body remain intact for 1400 years? 100% Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive in his qabar. And every matter Allah ta'ala has given him this great honor, that he knows Allah, the reports of the ummah go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It comes in the hadith sharif, Man zarani faqad wajabat lahu shafa'ati. A person who man zarani ba'da wafati faqad wajabat lahu shafa'ati. O kama qal alayhi salatu wassalam. A person who will visit me, some misguided people say, don't make the niyat of Masjid al-Nabawi. You must make the niyat of Masjid al-Nabawi, not of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas, what is the value of Medina Sharif? Where did Medina, agar tu nahi hota, to kuch bhi nahi hota. Lawlaka lama khalaqtul khalq. The value is of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because of him, the Masjid al-Nabawi is there. The Rauza al-Mubarak is there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi has written, the sand that is touching the kafan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam is more valuable than the Kaaba Sharif. Is more valuable than the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And that also, how can people who live there and who control there, how can they deny? When they themselves have inscribed on the Rauza-i-Mubarak, Ya khayra man dufinat bilqai a'azumuhu. These poems are written on Rauza-i-Mubarak. Ya khayra man dufinat bilqai a'azumuhu. O you who are the best who have been buried in the sand, that sand which I respect and honor so great, which is more valuable than the Kaaba, which is more valuable than the Arsh of Allah. Ya khayra man dufinat bilqai a'azumuhu. Fataaba min tibihinna alqa'u wal akamu. By the barakat of that sand, the other sand, the hillocks, the mountains, the sand attached to it, have also become so blessed. Fataaba. Hey, and the sand that we stand on, just a few meters away from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a place Allah has given us. And only this ummah is honored with that. If any person wants to go for Hajj, Umrah, just see to the necessary arrangements and you can be there. Jews can't reach their Nabi, they don't know where he is buried. Christians, they believe he was assassinated. The truth is, he's in Jannat, Allah has kept him. So they can't reach there also. This ummah has the honor. Whenever you want to, just make a little arrangements and you can be right in front with 100% conviction. You are standing in front of your Nabi and your visit is just like you visited Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his lifetime. Anyway, at this moment, the Zaireen, As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah. And then these stupid people, they believe that the whole world's people are stupid who are coming. How many people are reading As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Habiballah? And what consolement and contentment a person gets in his heart. They say that they are wasting their time. There's nobody there. Well, iyazu billah. So what is the great honor which Allah... So our heart should be connected there. So Allah gave us our sort of labbaik also, more or less. Allah Ta'ala gave us our resemblance with them in the form that during these days, a person who is going to make qurbani, from the first of Zulhijjah till he makes his qurbani, should not cut his nails, should not remove any hair of his body. This is like he's in a haram. Allah gave that honor, that resemblance with those great honorable place. There's the, all those people who are in ihram, Allah made us also to be sort of in ihram. So all this should put our minds there. We should be connected. So very fortunate is that person who may be in Actonville, but his heart is in Medina Sharif. His heart is in Makkah Sharif. He's making dua for the Hajjis, which is also very important. Let us ask ourselves, during this whole Hajj season, did we make one time dua for the Hajjis? If there's a wedding in the family, our tablighi ijtima is taking place, jalsa of a darul loom is taking place, how much dua don't we make? Can't we make dua for the Hajjis? Isn't that part? And what a great shiar of Islam. Or haven't we got any connection with Makkah and Medina? Haven't we got any connection with Hajj? If we have got, then we should naturally be making duas. We wouldn't be have to be told to make duas. We should be naturally making duas. On this measure, the level of our iman, that how much we got affiliation with our marakis. Our real centers and marakis are Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. Then Allah Ta'ala gave us another resemblance with this Hajj again. As the days of Hajj comes near, the 9th of Zulhijjah, which this year will be from Tuesday from Fajr. Then after every Faraz Namaz, for 23 Namazes, this year till Friday Asr, on our tongue will be, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahil hamd. And what is this takbir tashriq? It was that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was going to slaughter his son, and Allah enacted this whole scene. What a scene was taking place in Makkah Sharif at that time. In Mina, when he was going to slaughter, Allah put it on our tongues so that we can remember. So our heart should be connected there fully all the time. And we should be making dua for the Hajis also, that Allah Ta'ala make them, take them safely, keep them safely, return them safely. Allah Ta'ala make all the arkan, all the acts of Hajj, Allah make it easy for them. Going to Muzdalifah, Arafat, Mina, everything, the Qurbani, the Tawaf, Allah Ta'ala make it very easy. And very important, the barakat and the blessings and the goodness of every act which they ease, may Allah bless them fully with it. And as they return from there, let them return as Hajis. Whichever airport they are going to pass, whichever plane they are going to fly, wherever they are going to pass, may Allah make it a means of Hidayah. Really, if we make effort on our Hajj, and Hajis who are going for Hajj, and returning from Hajj with the extra barakat of Hajj, of Baytullah, of Rozai Mubarak, of Makkah Sharif, of Medina Sharif, that is enough to spread Islam in the world. But if we become Hajis, but if we go as tourists, we are more interested in the shopping there, or we are going there to catch up on our sleep in the hotels, or we are going to catch nice chows there in the hotels, and we are not concerned whether it's halal, haram, whether it's doubtful, we are just eating left, right and center, whatever comes in front of us, then how will Hidayat spread in that case? But if we make ourselves, and it is for that reason that we have to connect ourselves with Ahlullah, with the Khanqas, with the Rijalullah, with the Mashayikh, who will make our Islah. One Buzurg in fact saw his murids going for Hajj, Nafil Hajj. They were ready to go. He said, ask them, where are you people going? Going for Hajj. Do you know the owner of the house of Baytullah? Do you know the owner of Baytullah? Do you know Allah? No, we don't know him. Stay by me for 1 year. It was Nafil Hajj. Let me first introduce you. Let you know who is Allah. Gain the ma'rifat of Allah. Now when you will be making tawaf of Kaaba Sharif, it won't be that small building, that cube, but you will be, so to say, making tawaf around Allah. And how a little child cries and runs around its mother. I want this, I want that. Oh, give me this, I want it. The mother turns that side, the child runs that side. The mother turns this side, the child, like that, your tawaf will be like that. Now it is as though around, now you know what you want to ask also. Our Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when you go for Hajj, then just like when you go shopping, your house shopping or your business shopping, you make a whole list. I must buy this, I must buy this, I must see to this, I must see to that. Make a list for the du'as that you want. Ulama have written, when you leave Arafat, that thought must never in your whole life come in your heart, oh, I forgot to ask this also. In other words, completely asking now from Allah Ta'ala. A person who makes his Hajj like that, ask for Allah. Ask for your children, ask for your progeny that will come till the day of Qiyamah. Ask for the Ummah. Allah has given this occasion. So this is that great, great occasion, days which we are passing through. Let us see if we are even little bit moved by this. Or we did. Or there is no life in us, imani life. Like sometimes your battery is gone so flat, no matter what you do, it doesn't do anything to the battery. But if there's still a little spark, and it can be again rejuvenated, it can be recharged, recharge our batteries during these days. Ramzan was such an occasion. For a mu'min, Allahu Akbar, our preparation of akhirat, year in and year out, Allah has made so great and so wonderful. But if we pay no attention, like a zombie, just going through life, and these great, great things Allah has put, but we take no notice. And we fool ourselves with our big beards, with our topis and kurtas, I'm pious, I'm a good man. No, that is not, that is very important, but that's not all your piety. What is in your heart? With our titles, Maulana, Hafiz Saab, Haji Saab, all these titles of ours also fool us a lot. And everyone, Maulana, Maulana, I think I'm really somebody great. But check ourselves in our heart. What is our condition? Don't fool ourselves. وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. What is in the heart is going to be taken out. Not just what you look. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ. Allah don't see how you are made, how you are outwardly. وَلَاكِ يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَإِلَىٰ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah sees your actions. Our namazes, we make like we are big Sufis making namaz. But what is going on in our heart? Some of us, Allah forgive us, the worst, filthiest thoughts in namaz also. And we want to make a show, I'm so pious. Eh? So let us not fool ourselves. One friend just now, he said that, he did something, he saved himself of a big guna. And he spoke in front of other people, all Masih's, so mashallah. Then I told him, that you are speaking about, but your namazes which you are not making, you are not making your namaz with jamaat, that you are not speaking about. You are reading all types of filth, novels and all that, that you don't speak. A person goes to the doctor and tell the doctor, my eyes are very good. I've got no back problem also. I've got no arthritis, no gout. Doctor will say, there's the door. What you came here for? I don't want to hear your long, long stories. If you go to doctor for what? I've got a problem with this. That we don't tell our mashayikh. That I've got this problem. I'm involved in that guna. I can't come out of this guna. We just want to show we are big buzurgs and pious people. How can a person benefit in that case? So we sort ourselves out. Find out. Admit first that I need attention. I need help. And who is there who can say I don't need help? I'm perfect. Is there any angel sitting here? We are human beings and we need help. That is why, and a person who corrects himself and he goes for Hajj, what won't be the condition of that person? Anyway, and then comes finally the days of Eid itself. And the day of Eid, one great ibadah, again, Allah arhamur rahimeen. This ibadah of Qurbani, and Qurbani is not a Gujarati or Urdu word, it's an Arabic word. Iqtaraba qurbanan. Is there in another place? How many places in the Quran? The Quran has used the word qurban. And what is this qurban? Closeness to Allah Ta'ala. That a sacrifice by which you gain Allah's closeness by leaps and bounds. And remember also from the outside, to slaughter an animal and to make qurbani, there is a world of difference between the two. Just like, for example, to stay hungry and to keep roza, there's a world of difference. Many of us in Ramzan, we only stay hungry. It comes clearly in the hadith, a person who thinks he kept roza, dosa, my words, that's not in the hadith. But he speaks lies, he backbites, he doesn't control his eyes. Then the hadith words are, Allah has got no need of his staying hungry. In other words, he didn't keep roza, he was just staying hungry. There is a great difference of making namaz, salat, and making exercise. The making exercise is one thing and making salat is something else. The great difference of slaughtering, and how many of us we slaughtered, we go and put it on a scale that how much it cost us. And then from there into the deep freeze for the whole year. So we slaughtered for the house use, we slaughtered the animal. That qurbani is walaki yanaluhu taqwa minkum. Allah wants that taqwa from you. So this qurbani, that you make it a reality, and that has to come into us. Not just the matter of slaughtering an animal, but the spirit of qurbani must be there. For that, just a little bit to revive within us. We should know a little bit the history of qurbani. There isn't the time to go into all the details, but very briefly, qurbani started from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time. Every Nabi and every Shariat had qurbani. But the qurbani which is known to us, Udhiyah, is from Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma hadhi al-adahi ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is this qurbani all about, O Allah's Rasul? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is the way of your forefather Ibrahim. Imagine the importance of qurbani. On Hajjatul Wada, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam slaughtered 100 camels. 100 camels, 63 with his own hand. And the balance 37 he left for Hazrat Ali to slaughter. We can't slaughter one goat also. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when on safar also, days of qurbani, he didn't miss his qurbani, he made. It's not wajib when you're on safar. If you're a musafir, qurbani is not wajib. But how important, what value there is to it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never missed it. And when he was in Madinatul Munawwara, as soon as he's finished with the khutbah, namaz, khutbah, immediately he used to go and slaughter his animal. So how important. So anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, who was in Iraq, he was born there, he grew up there, and there he made Allah commanded him that all his family people, house people were idol worshippers, called them to Allah. And most of us know, I won't go much into the detail, but finally when they did not listen and he broke their idols, they burnt a huge fire to burn him in the fire. Say, so huge that they couldn't even go near to throw him in. So fierce was the heat of that fire, the flames, that they had to catapult him in. And from a distance they had to catapult him in. But then Allah showed his qudrat at that time. When he was about to be catapulted and thrown into the fire, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam, take permission from Allah. We want to help Ibrahim Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. For Allah's sake, all his qurbani, his tabligh and his da'wat, calling his people. And today he's going to burn in the fire. They have burnt the fire. We want to go and help him. Allah gave permission. Go and help him. When they came, he asked them, did Allah send you or you came? They say, we have come with permission from Allah. So they said, okay. He said, "Imma ilayk fala." I don't need your help in that case. My Allah, who knows my condition, and He has got qudrat of everything. So our iman, what is our iman? At the moment what the ummah is going through, whether it's Syria, whether it is Egypt, whether it is anywhere else in the world, we know how our hearts are bleeding. What is happening? But Allah's system is this, hatta idha stay asur rusul wa dhannu annahum qad kudhibu, that when the time that the rasuls, who are a rank above the anbiya, when they also, had they not had that iman, they should also have become depressed. Where is Allah? Mata nasrullah? When is Allah's help? And Allah's system is, Allah's help comes at the split moment when it is necessary. If Allah made the fire, or that fire for which Namrud, the king of the time, had made, had Allah made it a garden before time, Namrud should be before Ibrahim alayhi salam to jump in. But when did Allah make it a garden? When Ibrahim alayhi salam touched the fire. As he entered at that moment, kuni bardan wasalaman ala Ibrahim. Oh, fire become not only cold, otherwise it should become a deep freeze and it should have deep frozen Khalilullah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Cool and comfortable on Ibrahim. And then they saw with their eyes, those kuffar, that Ibrahim alayhi salam is not in a fire, he's in a garden, gulzar mein, enjoying in that fire. Allahu Akbar. So this we have to learn, never lose trust in Allah's qudrat. Allah's qudrat, no matter what is happening, Allah knows when He will send His help. And Allah's help comes accordingly. See, for this Qurbani should be teaching us all these lessons. Anyway, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam comes out of the fire, another great lesson, that hidayat is not even in miracles. These people saw with their eyes this miracle, but they did not bring iman. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, Inni muhajirun ila rabbi. I'm leaving, I'm going now in the path of Allah. At the age of 86, he's leaving and he's going in the path of Allah. Hey, where is the business, income, house? Nowhere, he's gone. He went to Canaan, which is in Palestine now, at this moment. There he went and he settled, which was Alladhi barakna hawlahu, this whole area. Allah had given great barakah. Allah gave him a son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Allah orders him, leave this place of great barakah, the place of honey and milk, the place of Syria, Jordan, Palestine, with so much of barakat Allah has kept till today. Allah said, leave this and go to the barren lands of Makkah Sharif. When he comes there, such a place where Urdu poet says, jahan khauf bhi apne qadam rakhne se darti thi. Fear was also frightened to enter in that place. Fear is a thing that puts fear, but fear was frightened to enter there. How fearful must have been that barren desert, where there was no shrub, not a blade, there was nothing, just nothing. When he comes there with his wife Hajara and his son Ismail, Allah commands, leave them now and you go away back to Makkah, back for your tablighi safars, and you go back to Palestine, to Canaan. He immediately obeys Allah's command. His wife Hajara, shocked and surprised, my husband leaving us here in this desert without even any food or provision, without any water also, and me, a old lady she was at that time, and a small little baby, what is going to happen to us? She asked, Ila aina ya Sayyidi, oh my master, oh my lord, where are you going to? He said, he didn't reply also. He wished to fulfill Allah's command. No delay in commanding or fulfilling Allah's command. He's moving. Then she asked, did Allah command you with this? Did Allah say you must go? He, without looking back, he said, yes, this is the command of Allah. Then she says, إِذَا اللَّهُ يُضَيِّعُنَا. In that case, Allah will never destroy us. And from here, another great lesson. In fulfilling the command of Allah, Allah will never destroy you. When we break the laws of Allah, then we get today photos on our cell phones, musical tone on our cell phones all the time. Sometimes in namaz, the cell phone it rings, and there's musical tone, breaking Allah's laws right wholesale, by huge amounts. How can Allah's help come? We can't keep a sunnah beard. We can't dress according to sunnah. We can't identify ourselves with sunnah. Then how, where is Allah's help going to come? So if we bring these things into our lives, see how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he followed Allah's command. Allah did not only look after Hajira and Ismail alayhi salam, Allah kept them alive till today. All those Hajis who are going from Safa Marwa, what was it? They are reliving the great yadgar, the remembrance of Sayyidina Hajira when she was looking for her child. All who are drinking Zamzam, what is it? That Zamzam which came when Ismail alayhi salam, a small infant lying on the ground, kicking his legs, tarping. He was restless for water, and Allah brought Zamzam to come. And the meaning of Zamzam, stop, stop. If it was not that, that the water of Zamzam should have flooded the whole world, not only Makkah Sharif, so much is enough, so much, and that so much which is enough, that water is going to Medina, that water is going to the four corners of the world. Hajis are drinking, millions of Hajis are drinking, billions, billions of liters. They are taking with them 5, 5, 10, 10 liters, even more, everywhere in the world. This is that little Zamzam, stop, stop. Hey, this is the barakat. To become obedient to the laws of Allah and barakat, you'll have to say the barakat, stop now. It's too much, I can't. Like a poet says, my lap is too small. Oh Allah, your gifts are too much. I can't take them in my lap. My lap is too small for your gifts. But this is when the haqiqat of it. This is qurbani. This is what we have to bring alive. Not just fighting with somebody with 5, 10 rand, make it cheaper for me, and then slaughtering that camel just by the way and no interest, or just sending it away to Malawi or sending it away to India. My qurbani is made. What kind of qurbani is that? Like you send somebody for your hajj, hajj-e badal. Your hajj will be made. Every mufti sahab will say your hajj is made. But what will you know what is tawaf? What was Safa Marwa? What was Mina and Muzdalifa? What was Arafat? How will you get the taste? What was it to read Salatu Salam on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Or you got a timeshare and you couldn't go for whatever reason. You tell a family member, some friend, you go and use it. He'll go, he'll get the cool breeze of the sea. He'll get the fresh winds of the mountains. Your timeshare is used, but what did you get out of that timeshare? So, qurbani also, if we get involved and do it with all its requisites, then we'll get the benefit of qurbani. Otherwise, it's just slaughtering an animal, or writing out a check, or sending, making a money transfer. That is qurbani. Sitting in your comfortable AC office and making out a deposit and sending your qurbani here. Now that qurbani, when inshallah, very briefly, time is almost up, we will discuss that what is this qurbani? When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after some years, 9 years, Allah commands him, go back to Makkah Sharif. Go and check on your wife and child. In between also he came. Then Allah said, now, oh Ibrahim, tell your son, inni ara fil manam anni azbahuka fanzur maza tara. I have been commanded to slaughter you, my son Ismail. You tell me what you say about the matter. He wasn't making mashura. He was testing his son that whether his iman is made. She was being taught by the mother Hajira, her ta'aleem and tarbiyat, whether it has been done complete. Dr. Iqbal, the famous poet, says, was it the blood of the father or was it the milk of the mother that made him give such an answer immediately? What an answer which great, great, great pious people cannot give. Ya abati fa'al ma tu umar. Don't ask questions. What Allah has commanded you, do it. Don't even ask. Today for a wedding, the daughter says, no, ma, Allahu Akbar. In a nearby town, yeah, a girl is getting married. A Muslim girl, she tells her father, nikah can take place in the masjid, but I must take the vows which they take in the Christian vows are the stake. What kind, where is our iman? What is iman and what is this? Today, how many of us, a young mother, a mother-in-law tells a daughter-in-law, when your child is born, I don't want this nonsense of scarf and burqa and all that. Hey, this kind, but that what was a mother? That the son, what a answer he gave. My father, do what you want. You have to slaughter me? I'm ready. There is no question about it. Make it very short. They leaving. Shaitan comes to the mother. Where is your son gone? He's gone to collect firewood with his father. No, they're not gone to collect firewood. The father is going to be slaughtered. Did you ever hear a father slaughtering his son? He says, Allah, if Allah commanded, then it must be done. What iman they had. Where is, we can't keep one beard properly. We can't get up for fajr. We have to make effort on our iman. The reality of iman. What is the zikr that we have to make? La ilaha illallah. Koi ma'bud nahi tere. Ma'bud haqiqi. Tu hi hai, tu hi. Tere siwa maujood haqiqi. Koi nahi hai, koi nahi. It's only you, Allah. Your command. La ilaha. I'm taking out all the dirt and filth of my heart. Illallah. Tu hi hai, tu hi. It is continuously under the guidance of a sheikh, then this iman can be built. And till today, mashallah, how many people's iman is built? Right in our time, in our country, young boys, young girls, middle age, old people, professors at university, people who are in the middle of fitna, who just went reasonably through this course, mashallah, how Allah is protecting them, how their connection with Allah Ta'ala. For that reason, we have to bring the reality of Qurbani, connect ourselves with Ahlullah and Mashayikh. Then it won't be just the slaughtering an animal. Anyway, Shaitan goes then to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Where are you going to be going? I'm going to slaughter my son. Okay, father slaughters his son. Allah commanded me. And he pushes Shaitan away. When they come to Jamaratul Aqaba, the first Jamara, from the Makkah Sharif side, Shaitan blocks the whole way, does not allow them to pass. The angel Farishta, who is with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, throw 7 stones at him. And that is the sunnat of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the pelting of the Shaitan. And then Jamratul Wusta, Jamratul Ula, he blocks the way all the time. But anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salam now is slaughtering his son. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam says, oh my father, perhaps your love for a father for his son will overwhelm you. So blindfold yourself and make that knife sharper than a blade. Make it so sharp so the work can be done quickly without any delay. Oh my father, we didn't bring my kafan with me. You're going to slaughter me? After that you must bury me. My kurta is still intact. Take out my kurta and use that as a kafan for me. Hey, so this qurbani is taking place. And now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a nabi. Allah has given every nabi minimum the strength of 100 men. What power in the hand of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And every nabi, his body is very soft and tender and delicate. It's not like an elephant skin. Not hard like that. Hey, our heels, etc., sometimes become so hard. But a nabi is not like that. So how tender is the throat of every person is so tender. And the throat of Ismail alayhi salam, a young boy, and destined to be a nabi. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, with the force and power of a nabi, 100 man's power, is slaughtering, but the knife will not cut. An orator, a wise, says that, oh knife, why aren't you cutting? If I should have put you on a rock, you should have cut that rock. But on the tender throat of my son Ismail, you're not cutting? So to say, the knife replies and says, oh Khalilullah, must I listen to Khalil, what he wants me to do? Or must I listen to Jalil, Allah Ta'ala, what Allah wants me to do? Allah dared me, you dare touch the throat of Ismail. You cannot cut it, you don't even nip it. Hey, today how many chickens are just being nipped and we are eating them? They are not being slaughtered also. You dare even nip my son's throat? You cannot. So the knife cannot act on its own. It is by Allah's command. Everything, if that yaqeen can come into our hearts, that your business cannot give you profit or loss, it is what Allah decrees. Your medicine cannot give you shifa or health or sickness, it is in Allah's hands. Everything, the knife cannot cut, but if Allah wills it. If Allah does not will, the knife also cannot cut. And then when Allah saw that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has fulfilled and passed his imtihan, what flying colors, Allah Ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam with a ram from Jannah. As he's coming, he's afraid Ibrahim alayhi salam mustn't put more force and finally slaughter his son. So he calls out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, the name of Allah should put him into a trance. When he heard Allah's name, his attention went immediately and he saw Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam come there. La ilaha illallah. All the malaika shouted out, La ilaha, all in happiness, that only Allah. And remember, Allah Ta'ala doesn't take qurbani. Allah only asks for qurbani. Allah wants to see we are prepared to sacrifice. Allah knows, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, man is weak. What can man give me qurbani? What can man do for me? But you be prepared that for Allah, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. For Allah Ta'ala. So then, La ilaha illahi, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And now he slaughters the ram in his place. All the malaika seeing what they seen that moved the heavens, that moved the arsh, that moved the earth at that time. This is our qurbani. Not just that we are catching an animal, fighting for the price, and somehow we slaughtering it and worried how much it cost and how much, whether it was cheap, whether it was expensive. Everyone's tongue now, this is qurbani, very expensive. The hadith comes, فَطِيبُوا بِهَا nafsa. Open your hearts and make your qurbani. It doesn't mean those who are selling animals must exploit the people. That you mustn't ask questions. Whatever price we give, you just pay. They mustn't take advantage also. It's a service that they are supposed to do, not a commercial transaction and making profits all the time. So this is a great ibadat of this time. And when this qurbani is made like this, then the real benefits of qurbani comes into, and every ibadat has got a specific purpose and object. Namaz, salat, inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. If we making namaz, not exercise, our lewd and shameless acts of guna which we are committing, whether publicly or privately, namaz will stop us. Roza, la'allakum tattakhoon, taqwa will come into you. Zakat, the love of money will go out of you. The yaqeen and love of akhirat will come into a person. Hajj, a person who visits the house of Allah, what great love won't his heart be filled with for Allah Ta'ala. Qurbani has got a specific purpose also. Walaki yanaluhu taqwa minkum. Taqwa will come into a person. So the qurbani must be done in the proper way, with the spirit of qurbani, for a sacrifice for Allah Ta'ala. When we do it like that, then that qurbani, our system is the masala which is written in the lal kitab, red kitab. And red kitab is not written, it's not printed anywhere, and it's got no page numbers. So you can't give reference also that this masala is written on so and so page. But anyway, the masala in the lal kitab is 1/3 of the qurbani meat straight away in the deep freeze. 1/3 for the house and family to eat. And 1/3 for those family and friends you give, who you know they also going to give you. So it's just an exchange system. And today's cell phone times, so why take the trouble also of going or them coming? Just tell them, I'm going to give you the front leg of the sheep. You keep yours from what you wanted to give me, you keep it, and I'll keep yours from my side. So even save your petrol money and your time also of going and exchanging. And we keep a note also that last year these people didn't give us qurbani, this year we're not giving them. So that is not. The right is 1/3 is for the family. 1/3 is for family and friends. And 1/3 is for the poor. Today what is the poor share? The chichra, the fat. And the head, the stomach, the legs. Because today we don't want to eat it, but there is so much of benefit in all that. Or we don't want to clean it. We don't know how to clean it anymore. How to clean the head, the legs and that. But what wonderful meal it makes. And how lot of benefit. But anyway, that give it to the poor. And they also, and remember also, qurbani is not charity. Qurbani is Qurbani. Many people we say, oh, Malawi, they don't get meat to eat. Mozambique, they don't get meat. They only need meat 3 days in a year. And the whole year they don't need meat. If you are so worried about them, every month send for them an animal. Have some animals slaughtered and give them. Qurbani is not charity. Qurbani is an ibadat of its own with its own particular purpose. And Qurbani we must get involved ourselves. This Qurbani is not an Eid on this day that you are sitting with your kurta shining white and you are having just some tea and you are eating little bit or something. No, this Qurbani is when you are in your lungi, you are in your vest and it's all stained with the blood, etc. Of course for namaz you'll bath, you'll clean yourself, wear park clothes. But this is that Qurbani. Otherwise the example of it is like a person going hunting. And he's wearing a three-piece suit with a tie and a hat also. How odd won't it look a hunter like that? Eh? Like that on Eid's day, this Eid, if a person is having chicken biryani on this Eid. There's no chicken qurbani. The best is to eat that animal you slaughtered, eat that meat. That is the best. Some keep last year's qurbani and they make their iftari. Or this year's qurbani. But this qurbani is not some chicken biryani. How many people the chickens are ordered already? Hey, this is not some kalkun biryani. Hey, this biryani, this Eid is for the qurbani that you have to eat. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayhi, the 3 days of qurbani shouldn't allow roti also to be eaten. Only me say this is ziyafat from Allah, Allah's mehmani, Allah Ta'ala's hospitality. Allah has opened the doors and Allah has made it such that He kept this qurbani not only in Mina. Otherwise it could be a monument made of Ibrahim alayhi salam with the ram at his legs or his son and his slaughtering and all going to see, like all the people of the world, the governments, all their achievements or whatever happened in their history, make big, big monuments. Allah made everyone, not a dead monument, a living exercise of the qurbani of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Let us not confine it just to the outward physical exercise, but bring it in our hearts. That spirit which Ibrahim alayhi salam had to sacrifice for Allah, for which Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam sacrificed, bring even ushre ashir, one little bit of that in our hearts, and see how our Islam will go from leaps and bounds, and we will go to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So that spirit of qurbani is what is required for this time. So we should get involved out so much, the whole ummah, not only they in Mina, but Allah said all who can afford it, they must make, according to Sharia, they must make their qurbani. Allah Ta'ala didn't only keep the rich to make qurbani. Allah involved the poor also. And Allah Ta'ala said, in which way are the poor also? فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَاقِمُوا الْقَانِعَ وَالْمُؤْتَرِ. The qani' and the mu'tar. There are different tafsirs of them. But the poor, the indigent, they must also get a share. And the poor must go wherever qurbani is taking place. Rich people, go and help out there. And then give them also a share. So Allah included them also. The man also must make qurbani. The law of Sharia is so much that if a woman can slaughter, she must slaughter herself a qurbani. If she can't, with parda arrangement, she must be present when her qurbani is being made. So much we must get involved. Today our kitchen schemes, all we on our units, etc., we can't tolerate one drop of blood. We say the smell of goat and the goat meat, etc., we can't take it. Whereas, I don't want to go into that subject, but the scientists have written, the goat industry is very small. And alhamdulillah, the terrible Jewish lobby hasn't interfered with the goat industry because it's too small. The goats who graze on their own, or any animal, fowls, sheep, horse, cows, anyone, what they eat, they know what to eat, what is good for them, more than what we know. The goats eat those things, which if you eat goat milk, goat meat and drink goat milk, TB and cancer you will never get. Because what they eat goes in their meat, and that way is the best remedy, the best medicine for us is what we eat. The fruits that we eat and the vegetables, etc., even the meat, that all these things which have been adulterated. Today fish are given chicken meal, those which are in commercial dams which are grown. And chicken are given fish meal. Hey, this is what he said. What things they are being fed? Those animals that eat naturally their own food, extremely healthy to eat those animals, and when they are slaughtered in the right way. I wanted to speak on this. Let me just a few minutes on that. And inshallah, and end on that. Some of us might not know, or a refresher for all of us. The best slaughtering system in the world, proven by scientists in the West, not our scientists, not by our kitabs, by scientists in the West, is the Islamic way of slaughtering. Very briefly, when we slaughter, we are commanded not to nip the neck, but to slaughter. And not at the throat, not the neck. It is makruh to cut off the whole head. And this happens sometimes when you're slaughtering a chicken. If your hand is too hard, the whole head goes off. But that is makruh. You shouldn't do that. And there's reasons for that. When we slaughter, the correct way is the windpipe, the food pipe, and the two veins carrying the blood. Four things must be slaughtered. Sharia have said minimum three things must be slaughtered, then it is halal. And it's not. And when we slaughter also, it's not like you are cutting a slicing a loaf of bread. Hey, some people, they slaughter, they are weak, and they're going up and down, up and down. No, you're not slicing a loaf of bread. Slaughter, your knife must be so sharp, and your force one time, that side, over this side, and it must be over. So when you do that, all the blood, we know it comes out. When the blood comes out, the whole nervous system that works with the brain, all those nerves run at the back with the spine. So the one nerve that goes to the heart, the brain gives a message, I'm not getting blood because it's coming out here. And I need blood to survive. So the heart works more harder and sends out more blood. And all that blood is coming out here. Then the head gives the brains give a message to the hands, legs, to the legs of the animal, the wings of a fowl, etc. I need blood. When we see the animal slaughtered, it's not of pain that it's kicking its legs and moving its wings and that. It is because it wants to send all the blood that is inside, it wants to send it out. But all that blood comes out here. Scientifically, it has been proven the most delicious meat to eat and the most healthiest meat to eat is that in which there is no blood. And this is the only way where all the blood of the animal comes out. The stunning of an animal, even Qurbani permission, you can shoot the animal and then slaughter the stunning, whatever those masalas are. But when they're stunning, if the brain is not 100% dead, it is 50% dead. 60%, 40%, 80% dead. The brain cannot give any messages now. Animal that is slaughtered after stunning, even if you go hunting, and you shoot the animal, and if you shot it in the brain, particularly, you and slaughter it, very little blood comes out. The ZCC, many people till today, they want halal. Why they want? They taste very nice. Because that actual halal is not, today we also say, it's not, we don't ask anyone where you get your meat, don't worry, eat, it's certified halal. Few years ago they should say it is halal. Now it's no more halal, it's certified halal. Whether who certified what it is, and we know what and what is happening in that industry. So anyway, so an animal which is stunned, all the blood does not come out. Then in Bonn, when we were in Germany, I explained this to them and they knew this better than me. They said in the university in Bonn, which is a university city in Germany, this experiment and exercise was made. They put electrodes on the brain of the animal, which measured how much of pain the animal gets. They found that almost zero pain when the animal is slaughtered. When it is stunned by shooting or any other method, maximum pain the animal suffers. You also know, if you have to go, like if somebody has to hit you on your head, you are like, your head is going, you don't know what is happening, how you are in a terrible condition. And when you slaughter the one nerve that runs here in front, all the nerves run at the back, but the pain nerve runs here. And when you slaughter with a sharp knife, that nerve is cut, the animal feels no pain after that. It is just nothing that the animal feels. So alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the best way of slaughtering, where science can never reach We have got the most modern, the most latest way from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time till the day of Qiyamah. So this is a very great ibadah. Don't just take it as a small little thing or just it's Qurbani day as well, we're going to make Qurbani, I'm making 5, I'm making 10, I send away so much. And every house let us try and have Qurbani. And let the whole family get involved. Try and encourage them. Our young girls, they don't want to even get the smell of Qurbani. But get them involved. Our kitchens, our houses, our yards, our gardens must be involved. Everything must be involved. And the main thing, bring the spirit of Qurbani. Let it not just be for eating braai place and big parties, etc. And we are just eating. But the main thing, وَلَاكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma aghfir wa arham wa tajawaz an wahdi wa farrij an wahfaz wa ghalib wa wahid ummat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, make the Hajj easy for all the Hajjis, oh Allah. Oh Allah, take them out safely, keep them safely, return them safely. Oh Allah, accept the Hajj, oh Allah. Oh Allah, whoever has made Hajj till today and will make till the day of Qiyamah, accept every person's Hajj, oh Allah. Give us the true benefit of Hajj and all ibadat, oh Allah. Let us have a life where we enjoy making the ibadat and getting the fruit and the result of the ibadat, and let that remain with us forever and ever, O Allah. O Allah, grant every human being and jinn that iman and Islam which you love and which you are pleased with, O Allah. Let us live by that, let us die by that. Just before mort, O Allah, grant us all tawbatan nasuha maqbool from each and every sin of ours, O Allah. Let us be raised with that iman in Islam and enter us into Jannatul Firdaus with that iman in Islam. O Allah, whoever might have any type of problem, whether it's a health problem, whether it's a financial problem, whether it is infighting, arguments, etc., whether it is not any type of work not getting done, O Allah, remove every person's problem, O Allah. If we remove the dilemma which people find themselves in, O Allah. O Allah, give us the understanding that our salvation and the solution to our problem is in deen. And let us bring the true deen, the essence of deen, the reality of deen in our lives, O Allah. Let us not only have the picture of deen, but let us have the reality of deen also, O Allah. O Allah, make that a reality for all of us in all our lives, O الله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
The creator of the universe, the creator of Jannat and Jahannam, the creator of man and jinn. Ay Rabbi Kareem, we have raised our begging bowls before one whose treasures of forgiveness, of mercy, of risk and sustenance are all unlimited. One who we can bond with and connect with any part of the day or night. Ay Rabbi Kareem, even if our sins are more than the waves of the ocean, more than the grains of sand on earth, more than the raindrops that fall from the skies.